Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
All right, time for a U.S. Open update. He is the host of Tee to Green. You can hear it in the Odyssey app anytime or Saturday mornings on our Odyssey Sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo. The pride of SUNY Brockport, Brian Cozio, good with his time to join us here in the sports bar. And Brian, Brookline, not a surprise. I mean, the course, any U.S. Open course, is not very forgiving to golfers. I saw a video. I don't know if you saw this video as well. It was somebody on the ninth green and essentially, you know, dropped the golf ball in one direction. And it looks like it might, you know, roll right off the green, right into the drink. 1 inch over, you roll the golf ball just a little bit over to the other direction, and it does roll off. And I mean, this is how unforgiving is Brookline for these golfers this weekend?
I think it's going back to some of what we've seen in other U.S. Opens in the past, where the difference of 1 yard left, 1 yard right, or up or back can be the difference between maybe an attempted birdie and then, or as you said, maybe what ends up being a disaster, what could end up being a penalty stroke or something along those lines. Yeah, I think accuracy on the second shot in these holes here, assuming they're par fours, are going to be the most important portion of the week. And then guys that aren't, are they able to get up and down? Because these are some of the smallest greens that the professionals will play on all season, imperative to be accurate on the approach. And also because they are smaller, they're going to have more up and down opportunities than maybe they normally would over the course of the PGA Tour normal schedule. So, to me, that's the key. I know putting is obviously always huge at U.S. Opens, but probably even just the up and down mentality. And we saw it today with McIlroy. He, I thought, was outstanding how many times he was able to get up and down and avoid a possible bogey and save a par. And I think that's a huge reason why he's amongst the group that's leading right now.
Yeah, Rory, 3 under today, three others also there. Brian Cozio, co-host of Tee to Green, our guest. Brian, we had you on last week. I thought it was a great conversation diving into some of those issues with the LIV Tour, and we did kind of preview a little bit, but I think it's kind of important just kind of reset as we'll all be sitting down either tonight or some point this weekend to watch this, and it's a course that has a lot of history. If you can kind of give us an overview here of the course at Brookline and what we should expect here.
Yeah, there's definitely, I think, some interesting stories that we'll hear about. I mean, for those of us that are big Ryder Cup fans, you probably will remember one of the most famous Ryder Cup moments ever. Justin Leonard draining a putt in the 1999 Ryder Cup at Brookline on the 17th hole, which ultimately turned out to be the difference-making shot in the United States win over Europe that year. But the scene that everybody may remember is the long putt going in, Leonard celebrating, and then the entire U.S. squad and their caddies and families running onto the green and everything like that, with still Jose Maria Olazabal to putt with an opportunity to have the hole. And I know that created some animosity between the United States and Team Europe with just, you know, the sportsmanship code of whether or not the celebration got a little bit out of hand. And if, you know, I think for those two, if you can picture that highlight, if you remember the iconic ugliest uniforms, maybe in Ryder Cup history as well, the maroon purple shirts with all the photos and then the olive green collars. And yeah, it was a shirt. But I saw some fans this week actually that I don't know whether they actually sell these still or if they figured out a way to Photoshop, but they actually are wearing essentially replicas of those golf shirts around the course this week. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. And then, of course, if you go way back in time, that I'm guessing nobody was alive for that's listening, 1913, Francis Ouimet, the amateur caddy at the course, who actually lived across the street, a youngster who caddied at the course, ends up getting into the qualifying to get into the U.S. Open and plays four incredible rounds of golf and then ends up having to take on two of the best professionals in the world, both from England, and he ends up winning in the playoff to obviously cause mass hysteria in the golf world back then in 1913. And they've got where Ouimet's house actually was. They've got like a little museum in there. And for those that maybe even have seen the movie that they've done about it, I think it's called The Greatest Game Ever Played. I think that's the title of it. I know they've played it on Golf Channel before, but if you're searching for a movie to watch one night, it's a pretty cool story to learn about this young caddy, a teenager who ends up winning the U.S. Open back in 1913. That was also played at the country club here in Brookline this week in Massachusetts.
Brian, we spoke to you last week when the LIV Tour was getting underway. There was a lot of heat. Reporters were peppering these guys. I wanted to get your impression of that first event hosted by the LIV Tour from last weekend, because to me it felt like a non-event. It didn't feel like it really made any kind of impact at all. And now you have that coupled with comments made by guys like Rory McIlroy, guys like Justin Thomas, who certainly seem to be waving the PGA Tour flag vigorously in the face of some of these guys that have defected for the LIV Tour. Just your thoughts overall on the LIV Tour and what it could mean here for the future of this this new project.
Yeah, I think if you're asking me why players are going, it's for the money grab,
right?
For sure. And they're going to spin it and say it's for other reasons. And there's guys that are well versed in saying that, you know, this is an opportunity for golf to do good across the world. And you know, when pressed about the fact that all this money is coming from the Saudi government, and all, of course, all their negativity that they've done towards human rights, you know, golfers are quick to spin it and say, well, you know, golf can do good and, you know, that's not my decision to make, you know, all these sort of things. And, you know, to me, it's a bunch of baloney. Like, look, you are going over there to get a monster check. Now, are there some other reasons? Well, you're going to play less to make more money. Well, for some people, that could be attractive, especially those that are maybe getting toward the end of their career. Some of those European players that people would definitely know, like Graham McDowell, like Lee Westwood, like Ian Poulter, their days of competing regularly to try to win on the PGA Tour probably are at its end. So is it understandable financially why they might take the big check? I guess. To me, those guys, though, the Europeans who value the Ryder Cup experience so much, I mean, those three guys, McDowell, Westwood, Poulter, even Martin Keimer, I'd throw in that mix too, a former major champion as well. Like, these are guys that would be all future captains for the Ryder Cup someday, and now they're throwing that all possibly out the window. So I don't get that in the further sense. Like, you know, if you are worth tens of millions of dollars, and probably some of these guys maybe over $100 million in terms of their just wealth, I don't understand maybe the lure of possibly ruining your legacy, possibly ruining maybe what is left for you in terms of the enjoyment of your professional career to go grab another $100 million or another $50 million or whatever you end up getting. Easy to say, because I guess I'm not in that position, but if I've already made it, like Dustin Johnson, like you've already made it, you're worth hundreds of millions of dollars yourself as a brand. Not only that, your family is, because of the Gretzky family that he's now married into. So you really need that? And he said, well, it's a lifestyle change choice. He can play 14 times on the PGA Tour. He doesn't have to just play every single week. If he wants to play less, he could still do that. So I don't buy that argument. You know, Mickelson, to me, who knows what he needs financially from this with all the gambling issues that we've had. Maybe he truly feels like he needs the money. It's sad for a guy that's worth, you know, $500 million over the course of his career with all of his endorsements and off the course items, plus his winnings, that he would need to go get a big check. To me, he probably is the biggest loser in this all, in the sense that he had gotten his popularity, I think, last year when he had, when he was the PGA Championship winner at age 51. I think he had gotten his popularity and his legacy to be about the greatest that it could possibly have been. There were always some detractors along the way with his career, but I think Mickelson was never more likable than he was a year ago after he won the PGA. And now look at this, just a year later, and now he's almost the face of the villain of golf. And, it, you know, for me, you know, like, that's meaningful. If you're in that position where you can have an impact on the work, the golf global world, now people view you as kind of almost the enemy. I guess I wouldn't sign up for that. But maybe fans are quick to forgive. He got quite a good round of applause on his first couple of holes today. But maybe the golf gods are punishing him because he's having a brutal front nine here so far.
Yeah, five over through nine as we're keeping an eye on that. You know, more on the comments there, because it seems like if there's one golfer that, hey, I will step in and I will certainly, if Mickelson's leaving, I want to be the face. What did you make of Rory McIlroy's comments about, well, look at the guys that are going over there. They're all in their 40s and some are 50, Phil, and their best golf is behind them. Is he accurate as far as if we kind of looked at, because there are some younger guys like Johnson and certainly DeChambeau that are making the jump here too?
Yeah, I think Rory's assessment is probably correct, but to me, because those guys have already made it, like, I know, is their life that much more going to be different, I guess, going forward? You already probably, you know, and I guess I'm, you know, this is maybe not good for me to assume. I'm assuming you've already got four houses and 10 cars and a boat and a personal chef and a personal trainer. And at this point, like, if you know your golf career is coming to an end, and you're especially some of those European guys, like, wouldn't you want to have an enjoyable part of whatever you can get left out of it? And for these European guys, maybe it's the Ryder Cup. I mean, Lee Westwood, Ian Poulter is a legend in the Ryder Cup. He could probably be a captain multiple times if he wants to, or be a part of, you know, the captain's assistant picks and all that for as long as maybe he wants to. So that part of it, I guess, I still don't get. For Mickelson, maybe he, you know, feels like his voice wasn't being heard enough, and the way that he had asked the PGA Tour to change some things, maybe he thought they were ignoring him and this is his way to stick it to him. But it's too bad, because there's a lot of personality in a lot of the guys that have gone over there, even guys that I think people maybe tend to root against. DeChambeau, Reed, these are guys that are polarizing. And for sports to be at its best, sometimes you need some of those guys even to root against. So I'm not saying that the PGA Tour is going to suffer because some of these guys are gone, but it definitely makes it more interesting to have some of these guys out there playing all together on the same tour. So hopefully that'll end up working itself out at some point, that they all can play in the same league again.
All right, Brian, knowing what we know about Brookline, everything you told us, the history of the course, how it's been playing, and you know, what is going to be key to getting over on Brookline, especially on those par fours and making sure you're hitting your approach shots there, who benefits most from that as we look ahead to round two tomorrow and the action this weekend? We know who we've got right now at the top of the leaderboard. You know, it's safe to assume that Rory McIlroy obviously, you know, figured it out day one. Is there anybody else? I'm looking at like a guy like John Rahm, who finished one under today. Could you see him maybe make some kind of a run here based on the way they play and knowing what we know about this course? Who stands to benefit and rise up here over the course of the weekend?
Guys that are finished already today that I think I like, I would include the name you mentioned, Rahm. I would put Morikawa in that list. Guys that are just tactical in terms of hitting greens, hitting middle, avoiding trouble. Justin Rose has had a couple of kind of quiet, good weeks here. Of course, he almost had that 59 last week at the end of the RBC Canadian Open. He's in contention here right now. He's one of those guys that if you said, okay, hit the middle of the green, make your run at birdie. If not, you tap in for par. Okay, go do it again. Go do it again. Like, Rose is, I think, structurally so sound that he can play like that, kind of reminiscent of what Nick Faldo used to do back in the day, that bulldog mentality of just, I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to do it over and over and over and not let anything else bother me. So he's a guy that could do that. terms of the short game prowess guys that I think you may see some of that skill on display. I think a guy that's on the course right now, like Shane Lowry, is a guy that could really maybe come into play. Keep an eye on Matthew Fitzpatrick. I don't think he can win because I haven't seen enough from him to close. He seems like a guy that's been in contention quite a bit over the last few years on the PGA Tour, but he's not a good closer. He's still looking for his first win. However, Fitzpatrick this year has really improved his short game quite a bit. He was one of the worst in the PGA Tour last year. This year, he's doing much better at kind of that up-and-down game. So he could be coming into play. Also, he won the U.S. Amateur at this exact course 9 years ago. So Fitzpatrick maybe could be a name that sticks around a little longer than maybe he normally would on another week.
Brian, did the LIV Tour by starting last week in England do a disservice to their golfers who are coming in? I'm wondering how much of a factor is that when you got to go across the big pond like that for Mickelson and others that are coming back here to play the following week?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't bet on a lot of the guys that are the faces of the LIV Tour this week because they had to have probably one of the most emotionally draining weeks of golf to go over there, realizing the pressure and the media attention that they were going to get. And then beyond that, play, and then have to have the flight, as you said, come over, the time change, and then go play an event that requires probably the most focus that you would in the entire golf season on the calendar. So I would say that that's true. I was talking about this yesterday on WGR with Chopin the Bulldog in the afternoon, how they were asking me, like, why is Dustin Johnson so far down the board? Why is Patrick Reed so far down the board? Some of these other guys from the LIV Tour, and in terms of the betting lines, and, you know, I was saying, look, I think right now there's also the betting public is wanting to bet against these guys. So I think you can see maybe why they're down the board a little farther than normal. And McIlroy, boy, has he, if you are not a fan of Rory McIlroy coming into this week, what he had done over the last, I would say, 7 to 10 days, he probably has gained even more fans along the way. I just think he is just, I guess, on his own, decided, I'm going to be the player voice of the PGA Tour. And for him, seeming to spin everything right in the sense of, I'm going to take the moral high ground in this argument of the PGA Tour versus the LIV Tour. So, and I think he's thriving on it. I mean, yes, his golf game is going great, but I think at the same time too, I think he's kind of getting a little extra mojo off of the fact that, hey, I'm walking around here with my head high. I know I'm doing the right thing in my head. I'm going to voice it. I'm going to continue to call people out, and it's making me play better too. And I think he's getting a huge boost of maybe enthusiasm from fans from that too. He got a ton last week in Toronto. And I know from talking from Kevin Sylvester, one of our co-hosts on Tee to Green, he was there following McIlroy on Sunday. He said you could just feel the energy. It was like a major, he said, of how fans were so supportive of Rory. And he thought a piece of that is how he's come out and been so vocal in terms of kind of standing up for doing the right thing, which is what he's been obviously arguing for during this whole PGA Tour versus LIV Tour thing.
Love to see it, and looking forward to the action that continues tomorrow and continues tonight, actually, into tomorrow, and of course, this weekend, Father's Day weekend. Brian, what can we expect on Tee to Green? Are we extra hours, added coverage this weekend? What are we thinking?
Well, we got, unfortunately, just 7 to 8, but our normal hour, but we're going to be doing a lot more on our social media pages, so if you can follow us there, Instagram, Twitter, at T2GBuffalo, and then we'll be on Saturday, and of course, you can listen on the Odyssey app. For those that are maybe familiar, we're going to be at Glen Oak Golf Course, Amherst, one of the nice public courses here in the Buffalo area. So we'll be looking forward to that.
Brian, just so I can sneak in one, Stanley Cup final here. Zach Bogosian, how do we feel about Zach Bogosian? Because Sabre fans couldn't wait to get rid of him, but I'm looking at his play and he's about ready to, you know, perhaps win another cup here.
Pretty impressive that he's doing it at this age, for sure. Just that game last night was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
The NHL, we've been missing two heavyweights meeting in the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, the last, we know we've obviously had Tampa, but Montreal last year was kind of a fluke, rode Carey Price the whole way. The year before that, Dallas, not super glamorous in terms of exciting, you know, matchups there. it's been a while since you really have had maybe the best team in the entire league all year, Colorado, taking on arguably one of the best in the East. But the fact that there's a two-time defending champ, I think, makes it an even stronger, sort of juicier matchup. I think what makes the NHL playoffs good and bad is that it's so hard to advance. So a lot of times the best teams don't go all four rounds. That's why it's the hardest, but it sometimes doesn't end you up with the greatest of matchups in the finals. This year, I can't wait to watch every single game. I watched every minute last night. I thought it was an awesome game, back and forth, and hopefully it'll continue and maybe go all seven games. I'll be rooting for Colorado. Not that I have anything against Tampa. I think it would be a great accomplishment to win three in a row. But I like how teams tend to copycat what the winners do. And if the NHL style shifts more and more towards how Colorado plays, I think the entertainment value only goes up for everybody, regardless of what team they root for.
You're right, man. And I actually thought this last night while I was watching it as well. Like, the NHL now, with this new deal with Disney and with Turner, I think they've positioned themselves. I'm not saying that they're going to be on the same tier, the same level that the NBA is as far as national popularity, but at least they've put themselves in a position where if the quality of play is entertaining and it sucks some people in with a bigger audience that you would expect to get between the Disney properties and the Turner properties, the NHL has an opportunity here if they can kind of highlight some of their stars and the excitement of play that we got to see on display last night.
For sure. And I think Nathan MacKinnon is as good as anybody in the NHL, and he always sometimes, I feel like, falls through the cracks. McDavid's mentioned, Ovechkin's mentioned, you know, guys like that. But Nathan MacKinnon, to me, is as good as almost anybody in the NHL. And hopefully this is a way for, as you said, those new broadcast partners to kind of prop him up and what the Avalanche are all about.
Brian, always appreciate your time. Thanks so much, and we're certainly going to be watching this weekend. Thanks, Brian.
Should be good. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
You got it. There he is, Brian Koziel. You can hear him on T to Green. He's also your Sabres Radio Network host during hockey season. And the pride of SUNY Brockport, as I like to say. Joining us here in the Sports Bar, you can hear Brian inside the Odyssey app. Just search out T2Green. That's the number two, T2Green. And you can hear more Brian Koziel, U.S. Open Golf this weekend, Father's Day weekend.
Yes. Yes.
I'm already planning out my nap for Sunday. Wake up in time to see who's in contention at the end of the tournament. Yeah. It's a good weekend. We got NFL appetizers next in the Sports Bar. News and notes from around the National Football League.
Yeah, so Lamar Jackson not at camp. We'll explain what that might be about. We also have your training camp schedule for the Buffalo Bills. As the Bills wrapping up minicamp officially yesterday, they were not in the field today. News from the Seahawks, the Browns, the Titans, and oh, yes, this is not little hot uniform talk. We got a guy coming out of nowhere today.
Just like love struck, like a bolt of lightning, like a tornado watch. Some hot uniform talk coming up during appetizers. In the Sports Bar, Danger and Battaglia on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.